Joining us here at Genghis Grill, Chris Turnage, still in his shirt and tie today. It's nice
business
on the
attire.
Patio, though, isn't it, Chris?
It is. Business attire. You know, I thought you guys would be dressed up today.
We are. This is our business attire.
Yeah.
This is our outside business attire, outside of the office business attire. Let's get right to it. Any question is who goes number one in the draft tomorrow, Jadeveon Clowney? Someone else?
You know, there's some rumors sneaking out there that the Texans really, really want Khalil Mack, and that they might take them even if they can't trade out of that number one spot. I don't think so, but there's some rumblings that they might actually take.
Compare the two from what you've heard. What I've heard is Khalil Mack is an every down player and a guy that will probably play two of the four special teams at least. And then Jadeveon Clowney is just going to be a guy that does one thing really, really good, but he's more going to be like a two and three down type of player is what I've heard. So kind of tell me what you're hearing about the two.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt. You know, one thing, too, that's interesting is Khalil Mack, they're saying, is probably a better fit in a 3-4 defense versus having Clowney play that, you know, that defensive end in the 3-4, kind of that five technique or something there, might not be the best fit when you're getting double teamed by the center and the guard. And so that's another big consideration. But, yeah, I think you're exactly right. They're saying, hey, Matt can come back. He can drop back in coverage if he needs to. He can run sideline to sideline and really scrape. And then, you know, Clowney obviously is a freak, but they don't know if he's going to be able to translate that.
And you certainly
don't want him dropping back trying to cover a tight end.
And explain a little bit to the listeners. Maybe they don't know the difference between a 3-4 and 4-3.
Yeah, you know, the two main defenses in the NFL, 3-4 means you got three down linemen traditionally with four linebackers. So in those schemes, you need a big nose tackle to kind of clog up the middle, and then some bigger guys that are traditionally your defensive tackles playing the defensive ends in a 3-4. Then you need your outside linebackers to be fast and quick where they can cover. And versus a 4-3, which is more traditional, what the Razorbacks run, for example, you need your traditional defensive ends, your Clownies, and then you need your defensive tackles plus your three guys. So that's kind of it's a completely different scheme. A lot of NFL teams say a 3-4 is harder to run against if someone does it right. So that's why you've seen, you know, when Green Bay had a dominant defense a while back.
The V-tackle. If you run a 3-4 and you have a B.J. Raji, a Vince Wilfork, that's when you run that, because you're exactly right. It's a guy that can do two-gap control out of that D tackle, nose guard, whatever, which would be a one and three technique.
Right.
But you're right. If you run it right and have a talented guy right there, it is tough because he takes up two different spots.
Exactly right.
We just had Ken stop by in a limo. No doubt. Ken in a limo driving by and heard about the free bowl. So he stopped in, said, yeah, hey, I want one of those free bowls. That's Matt Jones sitting over there. So we're down to eight now.
And we had some callers. I want to say the last 2 days, they want to know what Dallas is going to do. Take me through, let's say, Dallas picks 16. And then, again, do they have a second-round pick right there? Take me through their first two rounds or first three rounds. What do you see Dallas doing?
Well, you know, I think Jerry Jones is always open for business. I mean, he's always willing to trade up or down. A couple years ago, if you remember, you know, Steven Jackson actually fell and the Cowboys needed a running back, and everybody thought, hey, this is perfect. And then Dallas turned around and traded back out of that pick and ended up taking Julius Jones later in that same round. And we've seen how that turned out. So I think, number one, he's open for business, and they probably are not going to stay at 16. However, if they do, Jerry Jones has went on the record and said he's not going to use a safety at that pick or take a safety at that pick. Now, he could just be blowing smoke, but I think they're definitely going to address either defensive tackle or offensive line or receiver. I think that's one of the three positions they're picking.
And most of the mock drafts I see have them taking an Anthony Barr because they lost DeMarcus Ware.
Right.
I'm with you. Offensive line, and they definitely, I think, need there. But you got to have somebody to rush the passer, and they're in a tough division with Eli Manning. And then the new kind of thing that the Redskins and Eagles, they're going to spread it out and kind of do a couple other things. Yeah.
So I've heard rumors that they might even try to trade up and get Donald out of Pittsburgh.
Right.
They really like him, which wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think that'd be a great fit for him. But Anthony Barr, you know, Zach Martin out of Notre Dame, the offensive lineman, they like him a lot. He can play guard. He can play tackle. You can play either side. So you got a guy that can play four different positions on your offensive line there and be able to plug and play immediately. But Jerry Jones also loves the flashy pick, and he loves the receiver and the offense. And with them not really having a number two, they got Terrence Williams that can be that kind of their third guy, but they want somebody opposite of Dez to take that pressure off.
And it's a deep receiver
and it's
draft.
Very, very deep.
And last year they confused me by reaching and taking a center in the first round.
That's not going to happen this year.
And, you know, he ended up starting for them.
No, he's a good player.
But they could have got him in round three.
They could have got him later. That's why I was surprised.
Is it time for him to get a GM, though, Chris, to help him through this?
It is, but he won't. You know, it's amazing. If you look at the last draft they had with Wade Phillips there's not a single player from that draft still on the team. That's only, what, 3 or 4 years ago. And there's not a single player left on that team from that draft class.
That's not good.
Yeah, which is horrible. And Jerry Jones was asked this question directly about 2 weeks ago, and he said, hey, I earned the right. I can do this. I ponied up whatever it was, however many millions of dollars when he bought the team. And he said, who would have done that at the time? He said, I was the one that stepped up to the plate and did it. Therefore, I earned the right. I can still pick the players. So, you know, he does definitely need a GM, but is it going to happen? No. He likes doing it too much. It's kind of like Houston not calling the plays. That's what he likes doing. That's what he's going to do.
Even though he says he's got a play caller?
And it's just that's the bottom line. He says, I'm going to do it, period. So he does need one, but you're not going to see any change.
Right. It's like almost quit talking about it because
it's not going to change.
I think we're all in agree that he should get one, especially if you could get somebody on the same page. But even if you have one, Jerry could still have the final say, but at least you have one there to talk with, maybe somebody who's experienced, who's been around some other drafts.
Exactly. The problem is he's got, I think, some yes men around him right now that Jerry says, oh, I like this guy. And I was like, oh, yeah, me too. And you don't really get a true evaluation of some guys. So I think back to the original question, I think, you know, the Cowboys, I think you're looking at four players, really. I think if they can trade up to get Donald, Anthony Barr, I think you're looking at somebody like a Marquise Lee, or Zach Martin from Notre Dame. I think that's going to be one of those four guys for the Cowboys.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037, the number to call to be a part of Overtime. If you've got a question for Chris, he can answer those. You can also send in Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. We'll get to that. We'll read it right here at Genghis Grill and ask Chris if you have a question for him about the draft. Chris, the draft is later this year than it has been in the past, and you might have heard us talking about it earlier. Joe's fine with it because Joe's an NFL fan. He can he doesn't care when
Joe
the draft is.
He
can wait it out. Matt and I, we can only take so many big things at once. So you had the Masters, then it was time for the draft, but they pushed it back. We've got the playoffs going on right now with the NBA. Can we not have the draft before the NBA playoffs start like it used to be?
Oh, I wish it was, man. Every team I've talked to, I mean, every GM I've talked to, they hate it being pushed back as well. I mean, it's kind of a consensus thing, you know.
Joe, you listening?
Oh yeah, I'm listening.
Okay.
I mean, from the team's perspective, they're saying, you know, hey, we've already had our work done 2 weeks ago, and now we're just re-guessing and second guessing and double checking. And then, you know, the second part of that component the teams hate is you're talking 2 weeks later that rookies get to camp and get the playbooks, and that's a big deal, especially for,
because the season still starts the same
exactly
week. Yeah,
the season's still going to start. So they're saying, you know, whereas like last year, for example, there was an extra week or two in there, you know, where players could get playbooks in the mail and learn stuff before they went off. Well, now they're talking, hey, Sunday night, chances are a lot of teams are going to be bringing their guys in Sunday night, you know. So it's going to happen really quick. And can those rookies learn that quickly? And then from our side, you know, the anxiety level gets higher. We got players that call us, hey, have you heard anything from teams? What's happening? You know, and it increases that stress level from the extra two-week period because they've been going. You got to remember, they've been going since mid-December basically on
right.
this.
Matt, go back to the day you were drafted in the first round. What do you remember about that day?
It was pretty cool. It's suspenseful because after the draft, I mean, after the combine, I had 8, 9, 10 teams work me out. I was doing a position switch, and Jacksonville was the first team to come work me out. I want to say it was 3, 4, 5, you know, it was within a week of the combine, and didn't hear a lot from them. And then you know, the morning of the draft, I was Denver was the spot I wanted to go to. I had a good relationship with the guy that I had been talking with, one of their coaches there, and he said they had like the 24th pick or somewhere around there, and he said, we are trading out of that pick. We're not going to have a pick in the first round because you won't be there. And I was just like, what? You know, I was – I I was not planning on really going in the first round. You know, I was a second round type of guy, and so that was pretty interesting there. And then the 49ers called me that morning, making sure your number's correct. You know, you have all that that goes on. So it was a pretty cool moment. The one thing I loved about it was I had my family there, and that's who I wanted to hang out with that day. Because you couldn't have been there without your parents and without your family support through all your career and everything. So, but it was a pretty awesome, pretty special moment.
You know, and to what Matt said about the Jags, it's funny because different teams take different approaches. Some teams will come and work the guy out. They'll come and they'll bring a guy in for the visit. They'll keep calling, and you know they're interested in this guy. So other teams will try to kind of throw a smoke screen or do camouflage. It's just like when the Cowboys traded up for Morris Claiborne. Cowboys didn't interview him one single time. They didn't work him out a single time. They didn't talk to him at the combine as a formal interview. They didn't bring him in for a visit, and then boom, they trade up and got him. And he even was surprised. Like, we hadn't even talked to the Cowboys this whole process.
And the Eagles came down. They brought their third string quarterback to throw to me. You know, teams when they came down to work me out, and the Jacksonville had an assistant coach throwing. So it was funny. But they, you know, some teams brought their second or third string quarterback to throw to you. And if their offensive coordinator, you know, how many coaches come up and all of that. But there's nothing else like it. I mean, you know, when you sign your letter of intent to go play college ball in those, for some people, 3 years, 4 years, that's really, really special. But that's the dream. The goal is to play in the NFL. So there's really nothing else like it. It was awesome.
Some Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. This from Paul in the Spa City. Has Chris heard anything about that guy who won the Cliff Harris Award? Where will he go? His name is Pierre Desir.
Pierre Desir from Lindenwood. It's a D2 school in Missouri, about the size of Wachita Baptist, for everybody here to kind of get a feel for that. You know, Pierre is a great player, great story. Came from Haiti as a refugee that came over, started playing football late at a late age. He's kind of one of the hot guys as far as that second wave of corners, and it's kind of funny. I've got a guy that I represent that's right there with him, Walt Akins from Liberty, and so those two are kind of fighting for the top small school corner in this year's draft. And so, you know, Pierre Desir is 6'1.5". He's that long, almost 6'2". He's that long guy that people want now, and so I really think you're going to see him go in rounds 2 through 3, and, you know, I think he'll be a productive NFL player, so certainly will represent Cliff Harris Award well. And so from the ArkansasCondos.com feedback there.
And well, then also he wants to know, do you represent any guys who might get drafted? That's the second question. Then the third is, how about New England? Will there be a draft day deal for Ryan Mallett, or will he be a Patriot next year?
Well, I'll address the Ryan Mallett question first. You know, Mallett is – he's on the block. He's still on the block for sure. And it's interesting because you think, man, I'd rather have Ryan Mallett, I mean, this is my personal thought, than somebody like a Teddy Bridgewater or somebody that you don't know about really. But Bill O'Brien was his quarterback coach and hasn't really made a move on that. So what does that tell you? I mean, maybe that tells you either the asking price is too high or Bill O'Brien doesn't think he can get it done, because he was right there with Mallett every day in practice. And so, you know, what does that mean? I do think there's a possibility of a draft deal. And what that's going to boil down to is if – somebody targets a quarterback and they don't get him, then all of a sudden they're going to be open for business to say, all right, we've got to go get a quarterback fix. If something happens and, you know, Cleveland doesn't get a quarterback in the first round for whatever reason, then I think, you know, they could jump out and say, hey, let's go ahead and get this deal done.
And they have two picks with that Trent Richardson trade. That being said, how many quarterbacks are drafted in the first round? With Manziel, Borders, and Bridgewater, kind of it seems to be – but I'm seeing a Derek Carr in the first round.
Right.
I'm seeing some other people. What do you think, quarterbacks drafted in the first round, and will there be a running back drafted in the first round?
You know, here's the thing with quarterbacks that's real interesting. I think you're going to see, as you get towards the end of that first, I think you're going to see some teams trade back in to the end of the first round to get a quarterback. And the reason why is, under the new collective bargaining agreement, first-round picks have a 4-year contract with a 5th-year team option. Second-round picks have a 3-year contract and no option. So if you're about to try to get who you think
you
is a franchise quarterback
for next year,
you want 5 years versus having that quarterback for 3 years in the second round. So I think you could see a trend where a lot of guys trade up. So I really think you're going to see 4 QBs go in the first round, and I don't think a running back will go. Although I think it's interesting, the Patriots are kind of sneaking around out there, and so this kind of answers Paul's question too. But Patriots are kind of sneaking around out there and letting everybody talk bad about the running backs and say, oh, nobody's going to draft a running back. And I could see them jumping on one of the top running backs late in the first round, kind of like what Green Bay did
with Eddie Lacy.
With Eddie Lacy.
I don't think any of the running backs in this year's draft are as good as Eddie Lacy.
I agree with you. But I could see New England, because you think about this, their two running backs they got, their contracts expire after next year.
And they let LeGarrette Blount go,
they let LeGarrette Blount go. And so they could, you know, Ridley and then the kid from California, their contracts expire next year, Vereen. So I could see them easily trying to get a running back and sneak in there.
I see them trying to get a DeAnthony Thomas.
Yeah,
a guy that can do a couple different things.
What's up, Joe?
Oh, Chris, I have something here for you. This is from ESPN Radio.
Mel, give me a guy that you're looking at, maybe that's not on everybody's radar, maybe a late first, maybe a second rounder, that you're really excited, that you look at and says that kid's going to transition well to the next level.
I think Pierre Desir, a cornerback from Lindenwood, who's a kid who didn't play against top competition. You think about how impressive all-star games are, and you know, you have to be at that particular venue, how you have to test well. He's long. He's athletic. He's got great hands for the interception. He's a playmaker. He's probably a second-round pick. Walt Akins from Liberty had a great Senior Bowl week. Nice player as well. So there's two under-the-radar corners that are going to go, I think, in the second or third round area.
Well, there you have it. Good job, Joe.
Straight from Kuiper.
Yeah,
your hair's not near as close to Kuiper.
I know. I need to work on the Eddie Munster Kuiper hair, you know.
But yeah, I thought about you when I heard your guy mentioned there and getting some quality time there.
Absolutely, absolutely. If that's what I'm saying. Those two kind of Desir and Walt Akins have been kind of going back and forth. You know, Walt is a guy that he started out at University of Illinois under Ron Zook, and he played football, basketball, and track. So that kind of tells you what a freak athlete he is, and then ended up transferring to Liberty. And so it'll be interesting.
Let's head to Bryce. Bryce, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime. And Bryce is gone.
What about the receiver group you have that there's the last I heard was there could be 10 receivers taken in this first round. That to me seems a little high. I know the way the game is changing, that teams want four receivers that can go out there and play. We're used to you wanted two running backs that could go play, but now it's you want three, four receivers that can go out there and spread it out and throw it all over the yard. But do you see tell me your top couple receivers you really like, and then do you see there being possibly 10 receivers taken in the first round?
You know, I think 10's a little high. I do think you'll see 7 or 8. And, you know, you mentioned a while ago the Broncos. I could easily see the Broncos jumping on a receiver if one of those top guys is there. I mean, they lost Decker. Like Matt mentioned, Welker's in and out. Now, they did sign Emmanuel Sanders from Pittsburgh, which all he does is score touchdowns, kind of like the old Chris Carter. But, you know, I think you could easily see one of those guys take a receiver, and because, you know, that makes Demaryius Thomas that much better when you can't double him.
Right.
And that's exactly what Matt's saying. If you can have three or four guys that can be weapons, you can't afford to do the old double team and triple team and take somebody out of the game. And so, you know, the top receivers, obviously, there's really an increase there at the top. But I think some of the guys that are sneaking in there are Cody Latimer from Indiana. He's a guy that's had a lot of interest, a lot of visits, a lot of teams really calling. I think you could see somebody like San Francisco 49ers jumping in and trying to get a Cody Latimer. You know, I think the 49ers have a ton of picks. I think you're going to see them make some moves and get two or three really quality players in these top couple rounds with all the picks they have.
Well, in a team like that, think about the Seattle Seahawks. Think about San Francisco, some of these teams that have a lot of depth. If you have 8 or 9 picks in this draft, there's not 8 spots open for a team. Most teams that are pretty good, 53 people on a team. Is it still 53?
Yep,
53. So there's really 47 of those spots, unless somebody gets hurt.
Right.
For most times, 47, 49, they're already taken up. Those people are going to make the team. So it's tough if you're Seattle or San Fran to get nine players up there.
Absolutely.
Adam, hang on. We will get to you right after the break. We're up against it. We will be back with more. Chris Turner's going to stick around for a little while longer. Let's head to Adam and Bryant. Adam, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys, that's like the worst timing ever, but I have two questions, though, that are completely irrelevant about the topic being talked about now. It's about the draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers, do you think that they should maybe eye a quarterback, because, I mean, I'm not dogging on Ben as a quarterback. He was a great quarterback. But in the past 2 years, he hasn't produced up to the normal standards that the Pittsburgh fans are wanting. And do you think they should maybe aim for a quarterback? And also, with St. Louis, do you think it will happen where they'll you know, say goodbye to Sam and maybe shoot for a quarterback? I know Johnny Manziel is a big name being talked about with this. Your comments, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate
Pittsburgh,
the call.
And Joe, I'll let you answer this after I say a couple of things. But I wouldn't mind if Pittsburgh got a Jimmy Garoppolo in the second or third round. I don't think he's similar to Big Ben. You know, you want a guy that can move a little bit. I don't see Pittsburgh take it. They have too many other needs to take a quarterback, I think, in the first round. And St. Louis 100% should draft a quarterback. I'm not sold on Sam Bradford, and he's been hurt. The one thing that Chris brought up earlier, though, he was the last quarterback in that old age where he got like 40-something guaranteed.
Yeah, 50.
So, yeah, they got a lot of money invested into him, so it's tough then. But that's why they've changed it now. But, yeah, I think St. Louis should definitely try to get a quarterback.
Yeah, and then I'll chime in. You know, I would be absolutely shocked if Pittsburgh went quarterback in round one or two. I think they will. I think you'll see Pittsburgh draft a quarterback this year, but I think it's going to be in that third, fourth round range. And like Matt said, maybe you're talking to Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe you're talking a Tom Savage, or maybe you're talking somebody like that. But they're not going to use that pick on a quarterback in the first or second round.
No, the freak's going to handle Pittsburgh's pick in the first round, and I don't think he'll be drafting a quarterback for them.
No, yeah. And he was talking about a quarterback altogether. They just drafted Landry Jones last year, and not to say that he's the future or anything for them, but, no, I don't see them taking a quarterback at all. And as far as Ben and his production not being there, he just had one of his most productive seasons ever this past season. So I don't know where the guy is getting that from. Like you said, Matt, they had plenty of other needs, and it was about the team altogether that they didn't have a successful season.
And also, when you go into a season, you don't go in thinking your quarterback's not going to be there. If Big Ben gets hurt, they're not winning the Super Bowl anyways. You know, the same thing with a Denver Broncos, Seattle. I mean, your teams that when you have that type of – you know, think of the Saints. You know, if there's no reason to draft a quarterback for a backup, because if Drew Brees gets hurt, you're not winning the Super Bowl. You know, so I think that would be a reach to take a quarterback, like Chris said, in the first couple of rounds.
You know, it's interesting. Some teams, like you see typically Green Bay, Ted Thompson, those guys, they like to draft quarterback every year. I mean, late, a lot of times fifth, sixth, seventh round. And then, hey, if you strike on one of them, you can either trade him away for a lot of picks.
Like Matt Flynn.
Exactly, like Matt Flynn, or, you know, like what the Patriots did with Matt Castle, stuff like that. So some teams will draft one every year and say, hey, I'm going to draft one to keep this pipeline full. And if we get rich, we can go get another first-round pick out of this sixth-round pick. You know, but I think you're going to see 3 to 4 years left of Ben Roethlisberger. But if they see that his replacement is out there in the third, fourth round, and yeah, they might jump on it, but I agree. It's not going to be early.
And I'll tell you this. I will give you Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, and Johnny Manziel, and I'll take the rest of the quarterbacks in this draft because I don't think there's that much separation from the other quarterbacks, that one of the other quarterbacks will actually end up being more successful and having a better career than those three guys right there.
I agree. There's no Andrew Luck in this class, so you can't. You can't go mortgage your future on somebody and, you know, hope he just changes it around. I mean, will there be some good ones? Yeah, but I'm not convinced. I'm with Matt.
Those top ones are
going to be it.
Chris, what do you think of Connor Shaw? He's a guy that I'm high on.
You know, Connor Shaw has been talked about a lot just because
he's
versatile. He's about
6'1",
I think.
He's 6'1", no, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, but he's pretty versatile. I mean, he can, you know, you've seen him kind of pile up some rushing yards, and then he's fairly accurate when he's healthy. And so I've even seen some rumblings about the Cowboys taking Connor Shaw in late. I mean, I think you're going to see him. I think someone will take a chance on him, you know, fifth through seventh. And, again, sometimes those seventh-round picks, it's just means the team doesn't want to fight for a guy in free agency, so you're not wasting a whole lot. But, yeah, I think Connor could come in, and I think a team is going to like him. He did well at the All-Star game he played in and had some.
He's kind of a gamer, a winner, yeah, competitor.
Yes.
Exactly. He's not flashy. He's not going to jump out
now,
at
now, how
you.
Healthy is he? I know he had, was it a shoulder or collarbone and issue? And is it his throwing shoulder collarbone?
Right, and that's a question is, you know, if you look, I think the last two or three years he's had some kind of injury, whether it's a knee, whether it's a shoulder, you know. And even though they could all be freak injuries, I'm just telling you, the NFL will label a guy like that injury prone,
mm-hmm.
even if it's, you know, even if you can't help it at all. But, you know, I think he's healthy right now, but I think there is some injury concern from teams out there.
And one other player that we had a listener ask about, Christian Rycroft from OBU.
Yeah, Chris Rycroft.
Yeah, Chris Rycroft is actually one of my clients, and so I can speak to him pretty well. You know, Chris was actually – it's an interesting story, and this kind of will let the listeners know what happened. On his junior pro day, which is where the teams will come to the school and evaluate a prospect their junior year, he kind of had a hurt ankle and ran slow in the 40. And so the NFL teams didn't really write a report on him at that point because they thought he ran too slow and they didn't realize his ankle was kind of hurt. So then he had a great senior year, rushed for 995 yards, averaged 5.2 yards a carry, and came out. And then at his senior pro day, he ran a 4.44. He had a vertical of 36 and benched 24 times and had one of the fastest L drill times in the country. Literally by even all the guys at the combine. And so now in the last 4 weeks, teams are like, who is this guy? Because he didn't get scouted his junior year. So we've had a lot of teams ask for film on Chris in the last couple weeks. And you know, he's not going to be drafted, but he'll be a free agent. And I think he'll be in camp and be able to make some.
And I want to ask you about that. For guys that end up being a sixth or seventh round pick, isn't it better to be, and we can get to this after this break, but isn't it better instead of being a sixth or seventh round pick to be a free agent? Because then usually there's three or four or five teams that'll all offer you pretty much a similar deal, and you can kind of pick and choose which team you have a better chance of making instead of being a sixth or seventh round
Absolutely, pick. And I'll talk about that when we come back. It's a great point.
Welcome back to Overtime. Matt Jones, Trey Schaap, Chris Turnage out here at Genghis Grill. The Freak Freaky Joe Franklin back in the studios of the Buzz Radio Network. Don't forget, we still have some of these free bowl cards at Genghis Grill. Stop by right now. We will give you one of these. They're good at any Oklahoma or Arkansas location. You can get a free bowl right here with one of these cards at a Genghis Grill. Let's head to Bacon Boy. Bacon Boy, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to let you in on a little bit of what the talking heads are saying this morning as far as the draft goes. The Rams are talking seriously about taking Manziel. And, you know, without any question, they're interested. Second of all is Jerry Jones was on there talking favorably about Manziel this morning. And then the Eagles, they say, are doing – they're scratching everything that they can to try to get a shot at Manziel. They would love to have him. I mean, I see him, yeah, you may say there's not a franchise quarterback available, but there is one that he could be a home run if he gets in the league. He may change the landscape of the NFL. And I know that's an if, but everybody has an if attached. The other comment that I had was about the NBA playoffs. Obviously, the best playoffs in a number of years. My pick are the Clippers. I mean, I don't know that anybody is moving the ball like the Clippers are, but isn't it amazing that how the matchups work out? Because San Antonio just scraped in their last round, and then they looked sweet last night, and then obviously we're going to watch somebody play the Heat, and I'm just going to hang up and listen to what y'all say about Manziel. I like him. I think that he has the chance to impact the team that hasn't been relevant and make them relevant in the near future. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bacon Boy. Appreciate it.
I'll give you a little – update that if I'm the St. Louis Rams with the number two pick, I'm taking a quarterback. And Manziel or Bortles, Jeff Fisher, whatever you like there, I'm not sold on Sam Bradford. I would not be surprised if the Rams take Manziel. And then again, it could be a smokescreen because this is the pick they got from the Redskins when right. they did the same thing to the Redskins to get them to move up to take RG3. So they could be doing the same type of thing to get somebody to trade. But I'm with you. I think the Rams will take Manziel.
You know, on a lot of this, like Matt said, some of it can be smokescreen. They leak something out so mm-hmm. that a team wants to get up there and trade. I can tell you, the Rams want to trade down if they get it.
But they don't need a quarterback.
And they, I mean,
they do need.
It depends. Yeah, it depends on how sold they are
need
on Bradford.
One.
But
yeah,
I
Bradford's
mean,
no good.
I'm not sold on Bradford, yeah. but at the same time, you got $50 million tied up in him. Do you give him? You say, hey, if we build our offensive line, does he? Can he be better? Mm-hmm. You know, and can we win with him?
Let's head to Tommy Smith. Tommy, welcome.
Hey, real quick, if you've not seen the movie Draft Day, the day before Draft Day, I think it'd be interesting to see how they sneak and trick and leak and do all that stuff to get the draft picks they want. On another note, I'm in Bologna again today, and I'm helping people out. And I voted Republican ever since my daddy was a Republican. And for those people to boo Obama, Obama didn't put that tornado down, Reagan didn't put that tornado down, Jimmy Carter, it's like John Wayne once told Jimmy Carter, I didn't vote for you. I'm going to do everything I can to vote your ass out of office. But right now, you're my president. You're my leader. What can I do for you? We live in the greatest country in the world. And at a time like this, people should be helping people and put that other stuff aside. There will come a time. There will come a place. It's called election. If you got out there and did sounds like that in other countries, they'd cut your head off and stick you in a jail somewhere. So just get out and help your fellow Arkansans. That's all I got to say. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Tommy.
And maybe not, and maybe not in that order.
Exactly,
you're exactly right.
That was very impressive by the president, though. You know, he went out to the disaster area, kind of dressed down, and then he gets back on the chopper. And when he lands, he's suited up, ready to go, get back in the air on Air Force One.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Changing room on a Marine One.
Yes.
Guarantee it.
He's got everything he could potentially need on Marine One. Chris, before we let you go today, I want to ask you about Zach Hocker.
You know, Zach is an interesting prospect. He's had workouts with several teams. He's got a big leg. Everybody knows his leg is huge as far as, you know, his power and strength there. I could see him getting drafted late, or if not, certainly being a free agent that could make the team, because a lot of these teams, if they've got a 10-year kicker and they've got a kicker that's just as good, they're going to go with the rookie because he's cheaper. He's a lot cheaper at that point. And so there's a kicking service that actually rates kickers, and a lot of NFL teams will contact this guy, and Zach is the number two kicker right now on the board. So I could see something happening with him.
Yeah, that's good for him.
Yeah.
Good. And again, who do you see as the first Razorback maybe off the board? What you got a Travis Swanson and Chris Smith, right?
I think Chris
the top
Smith.
Two.
Yeah, Chris.
Who do you think the first hog is in third round, second round? You know, what round do you think?
You know, I think Chris will be the first Razorback taken. Again, a lot of people were worried about his height when he came in, but his wingspan is like more like a wingspan of a 6'4 guy, and so that helps, and his get-off helps. I think you're going to see Chris go in the late second, early third.
Wow.
And then I think you're going to see Swanson probably, you know, late third, something like that. A lot of people have Travis as the number five or number six center. And so, you know, problem with centers is there's only one of them that plays on there. And typically teams don't carry a backup center. They have a guy that can play guard and center.
Yep.
And so that's the only issue, but I do think Travis is going to be a good player, you know, in the NFL. I think you're looking at late third.
Buddha in Little Rock wants to know, what do you think of the A&M wide receiver Evans? The 2 to 3 times I saw him play, he couldn't seem to handle defenders getting physical with him, both physically and mentally. Seems too easy to get in his head, thinking pro D-backs will have a field day with him.
Well, you know, in college, a lot of times, a lot of receivers don't get pressed that much. I mean, really physically pressed. I think Evans, it's been said that he's a one-trick pony, but that trick is really good. Go down the field deep and catch it. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I still think he's going to go probably top 10, maybe top 12 overall. And I think he's going to be a weapon as long as he can come in and be a two or a three for somebody. It doesn't have to be the one.
And I see him, you know – 10 years ago, the slot receiver was an Antoine Randall, was a Santana Moss, Wes Welker still today, but it was more of a shifty guy. But I see Evans being like a Jimmy Graham, and where that's what the Saints do is they match him up in the slot a lot
right.
because he's faster than the linebackers or safeties, and he's more physical than the nickel back that would be on him.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've got a typically your nickel defensive back is going to be a smaller D back. So if you've got a 5'9", 5'10" D back out there,
and usually he's not your best
exactly.
cover guy.
You're going to throw it up to Evans if you can get him in the slot. So I think Evans will be in the top 12.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and
Chris,
good luck
to
all the
it.
People you got in the
Absolutely.
Draft.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Be
yeah.
safe heading down to Dallas.